And again, I'm Dr. Will, and this is the NFNLP Forum for the week. Originally, it was going to be called, Why People Don't Buy From You. You made a, you've done a call, or they've come in for a consultation, and you started the process, and they're interested. And then when you go to do, if you want to call it a closing, I don't like the word closing. First of all, we need to rephrase that. It's actually the opening for a long-term relationship. Hey, everybody, again, if you like this, click like and share. If you like this, click like and share. And the people coming on the other line. And again, that's the first thing about reflipping so you can close more if we want to talk about closing. And again, I'm also going to tie this into this scare pandemic we've got going on, because what we'll talk about in a moment actually is the same part of the brain. But anyway, for our viewpoint, when you're talking to somebody and you've networked with them and whatever you want to call it, maybe they've done a call, maybe they've come in for a consultation, whatever it is, excuse me, but now you go to do, to start the process of getting the sale. Well, one of the things, and it took me a while to figure this out, is quit thinking about it as closing, right? People go, I'm a good closer. Well, think about the linguistics of it. Especially me, I'm into neurolinguistics, right? The linguistics of closing means you're ending something. You're closing the door. You're closing that section. You're doing this. So when it means you close the sale, yeah, the sales process is open. But if you flip it in your mind, and people have a little bit of trouble with, they call it being too salesy. One of the problems is that's one of the things they think about. I'm not a good closer. They could talk about hypnosis or NLP or coaching all day long. But then when it comes to let's ask for money, they kind of freak out. And that's because in their heads, they're thinking about it as being a sale. So it's not a closing anything. Okay, I've talked to you about this is what I'm going to do. This is where we're going to go with this. Here's my recommendation, six sessions, whatever it is. Hey, Teresa, hey, Jennifer. If you like this, click like and share. And also here, so you've started the process. And now you go, okay, you need like six sessions. You need this, this coaching program, whatever it happens to be. So in your mind, if you flip it, and this is going to tie into the brain sections in a moment, that you're really opening up. Now we can start the relationship aspect. The first was we were sort of, it's like dating, if you will. It's sort of like getting to know each other. Now we're moving to the next phase. And I can't help you unless you decide to go to the next phase, unless you join my coaching program or sign up for sessions. It depends what I'm doing, right? If you don't, I really can't help you. And two things. A, that's opening the relationship to the next level. That works in my mind. And also it helps then that I don't want to give anything away too much. Many times I know when I've coached people, one of the problems is, you fix people on the phone call, you fix people in the consultation, they feel so much better, they have no desire to sign up for a session, a program, whatever it is that you're doing. So what we want to do is think about the fact that you're not closing anything, right? You're actually opening up the relationship. So that's the first thing, because it flips it in your mind. Because what happens when you think about something like closing, even in some of our minds, we've been trained to think that it means something's ending. You're closing the door, you're closing the chapter, you're closing that, whatever it is, right? And actually, you want to open it, right? So if you do that, that'll help. That'll help shut down some of that, right? And because in your deepest part of your mind, which we're going to just start talking about, your reptilian mind, it does not like change, right? It's the survival part of your brain, excuse me. And when that kicks in, it does a whole bunch of different things to your body, mind, and spirit, right? And this is what happens in the sales process. So I'm talking to you, I'm pitching something, whether it's a coaching program or a bunch of sessions, whatever it is that I'm doing. So I'm talking to you about it, and you're agreeing because you understand intellectually that this would be good for you. Maybe I'm trained enough that I actually got you to access the feelings that you'll get when you get the change, right? So you're in your a little bit of your a deeper part of your mind, but you're mainly in the frontal cortex or prefrontal cortex where you're thinking logically, yes, this would be good for me. These sessions would be good for me. It'll change my life. It'll do this, this, and this. And we've all had that experience, and the people are nodding, they're ready to go. And then you go to get the sale, if you will, to open the relationship for the next level, because again, you're not closing. What begins to happen is this: you've acted at that point, your brain is in search mode, right? So they're thinking about it. Well, what does it mean when you change something? When you change something for parts of your brain, that's a threat, right? That's a threat. Because change can be threatening. Even if you're in pain now, you know, and I always think of like addictions or weight loss or whatever. What you're doing is not working and it's painful, but you're used to it. But you are used to it, right? And because you are used to it, because of that, your brain's comfortable. It's comfortable in the pain. And now I'm giving you, even though intellectually you go, this would be good for me, it's unknown. It's unknown, right? And so then all of a sudden, your survival mechanism kicks in, right? Because again, change can be scary. Change can be horrible for some people, right? How many times have you made a change and you were scared as shit to do it, and then you did the change, and then you look back and go, God damn, excuse my language, I wish I'd have done that sooner, right? Well, it's because you were fearful. The change will be scary. You know, I see it in every aspect, right? I remember talking to someone about their book, and they had a book. They had it pretty much done. I was just there, you know, they paid me to help them tweak it, I guess, right? So we got the cover, we got this. And really, we started talking, and what came up, why they hadn't pulled the trigger and actually like published their book, self-published, right, is they actually finally said, yeah, but what about my next book? And I'm like, well, what about your next book? You got to get this book done. Yeah, but if it's good and people really like it, am I going to write another good book? Right? And that's the change would have, you know, will I be able to handle it if, you know, I become known as an author and all that. So that was their reptilian brain. This is what happens when you've got the agreement. So you're talking about all this wonderful change. And then you go, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with what it is. I don't know if Sensei Holman is still on this. He's on the Facebook, which is up there. But, you know, we see that in when I trained with him in karate. And, you know, it was a different style. And people would come there and he could explain it. You'd go to one of the demos and people liked it. But a lot of people, then when it came to, you know, about switching styles or adding this to their thing, I don't know, right? Because they'd been probably in the martial arts for, who knows, right? Many, many, many years in some cases. And to cause them to shift could be painful. You know, when I shifted, you know, I had to shift schools. I kind of got kicked out of the school I was training because they didn't like that style. The style I was starting to, and I wasn't changing necessarily. I was just adding something to it. But again, it was threatening, but I was willing to do it. Now, a lot of people, that's your reptilian brain. You want to be part of a group. It is part of your survivability. You know, you'll stay in the negative because it's all you know. It is all you know. That's why people won't pull the plug, right? Because that, again, is your reptilian brain, which is way back in the deep part of your brain, you know, and it is signaling that this could be dangerous. It's unknown, right? You need to put your guard up. That's why suddenly then they start coming up, if you want to call them objections or whatever, right? Now, how can we work around this, right? Well, let me tie this into why this bull crap going on about the pandemic is scaring people so much. The media is wonderful at activating your reptilian brain. You know, this is going to kill you. It's going to kill everyone you know. You know, it's the most horrible thing to ever set foot on the planet, da-da-da-da-da. And yet, they're not giving you enough information. They're just scaring you. And when you're scared, that activates your reptilian brain. And when you activate your reptilian brain, you go into shutdown mode. You go into protection mode. You know, it's the reason why, you know, it's the reason, excuse me, it's the reason why that... It's the reason why, excuse my phone rang, I forgot to take it off the hook. It's the reason why you see people hoarding toilet paper, even though the current, this flu doesn't give you the runs or the, you know, you don't get an upset stomach necessarily from what they're saying, but people are hoarding toilet paper. They're hoarding cleaning supplies. They're hoarding all this. Why? Well, when you're in that fear mode, you're gonna revert to the things you can control, right? You're gonna revert to, and I can control this. I can buy, you know, 100 rolls of toilet paper. I can buy 17 bottles of Purell. I can do that. That's control. Makes me feel safe. Does it really? Not really, right? You know, I mean, it's not logical, but it makes sense when you look at it from the reptilian brain viewpoint, right? Because this they can control. That's why they're going to do it, right? And from their viewpoint, it also makes sense because it's, you know, it's getting you to watch more. They're going to give you more information soon. You know, you need to keep tuned for more breaking information, which is it's the flu. Wash your hands. You know, can you avoid people? Don't shake anybody's hand. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know what? Yeah, I don't know. But I don't buy into the hype. But how do you, so again, it's whether it's opening the relationship for a sale, you know, to go to the next level. And again, we don't call it closing. We're calling it that opening the relationship model. Again, that kicks people into that reptilian mind. They start thinking, can I do this? Can I do that? You know, even though you've talked about it, they can afford it. They can do this. They understand intellectually. They should do it. Same with this fear model with the current viral stuff going around. Intellectually, a lot of people know, you know, it's the flu, right? It's airborne. You know, I was at one group and I was like, at the end, we will not hold hands, right? Because of this. And it wasn't me, though, for once. I was thinking it. Somebody said, we've just been in a room for about an hour and 15 minutes in a closed room sharing the same air. It's an airborne virus, right? And people had coughed and sneezed during the thing. You know, it's like, you know, the holding hands at the end, you know, if you've been exposed, you've been exposed. So anyway, you know, you understand that intellect, but I can control not holding hands, right? And again, they just showed one where a person was doing their spiel about all the things you got to do. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't shake hands. Don't do this. And don't touch your, you know, don't touch your face or your eyes or your mouth. And then every time as she's turning the page, she's looking, you know, to turn the page, you know, a couple times she wiped her eyes, right? And went like this and then kept, because this is natural. I mean, it can be done, I guess, but I'm just like, fascinating, right? But again, she might be the type that would do all that, but then I can't shake your hand, right? Why? Because I can control that. That's kicking in your reptilian brain. So that's on the macro level with the stuff going on with the virus. But on the micro level, when you're trying to get somebody to sign up for your coaching or your sessions or buy your book, whatever it is you're doing, right? Before they, two things happen. One is they'll instantly go into a thing in their heads about how much of a change this will equal to them. It's why I tell people one reason you want to write a book, and I do have a course called becomeanauthorfast.com. But why you want to write a book, people drop, you know, 10 to 20 to 30 bucks on a book all day long, right? Won't blink about it, because I think what it is, you might be talking to them, and I've seen this at when I've been at conferences and I'm pitching my ideas, people go, let me think about it, but I'll take your book, right? It's a good sign. It means that they agree, and it also lets me know that, you know, they will make a decision on a small ticket item. And what that means, there's no threat, because also too, I'm not asking any time commitment, very low dollar commitment. So people will do it. So it lets me know that really the thing in their head's going on, if they'll buy the book, you know, or they might buy a cheap video, but they don't want to go to the next level. It has to do with either, you know, the higher cost of it or the time aspect of it, you know, and they're not aware of this as it's going on. It's why they'll flip the 20 bucks down for the book without blinking an eye. It's why they'll, you know, maybe even buy a, you know, $49 video, whatever it happens to be. So how can we go around this, right? Well, how you go around this is you make it conscious. You know, as I'm talking to you and I'm saying like, hey, you know, I offer personal coaching. It's what I do. I help people overcome subconscious blocks. The great thing about a subconscious block is you're not consciously aware of it. You cannot change a subconscious block on your own. It's impossible. It's subconscious, right? And even if it's made conscious, that it goes back to being unconscious or subconscious, it's hard to make that change, right? Again, like the lady flipping the pages, you know, in the press conference about don't touch your face. So, you know, it's hard. So you need some outside help. So let's say I've made that offer and I'm going for that, right? Now I go to say what I can do, right? So, you know, I help people overcome these kind of blocks. And the biggest thing I help people overcome is I call it the paradox of knowledge, especially my people that are hypnotists, NLPers, therapists, alcohol and drug counselors, a lot of my group, right? And also a lot of actors, by the way. But that group is knowledgeable and they're not, especially the ones that in some kind of therapy mode. So they understand hypnosis, NLP, and all these change agent things. And even a lot of my actors have done a lot of self-development work. So they have a lot of knowledge. And the paradox of that knowledge is now when they like go to a seminar, buy a book, or you know, maybe go somewhere and they someone starts doing something to help them change, they're sitting there. And what begins to happen is they start analyzing the data. You know, will this work for me? Oh, I'm different. It won't work for me. Right. Or they go to the next level. So they're not actually doing the process, right? They're thinking about the process. They're not in it. They're thinking about it. The second thing is they might do is go, I got to remember that. Right. I could use this for, especially if they help other people, I could use this for Joe. I could use this for Bill. I could use this for that. So they're already thinking about how they're going to apply this information, not how it's going to work for them, how it's going to apply it for other people. Interesting, right? And the third thing is they just become judgmental of it. Why did they decide to do that? I wouldn't have done that. After with the information I gave, I would have done a visual squash or new behavior generator or, you know, dance naked in the moonlight. I don't know what the hell it was, but they're going to judge it. So when those three things kick in, the change can happen, you know? And then what happens if this goes on enough, you start feeling like a fraud, the last thing of the paradox of knowledge, because even though I can go help other people, maybe stop smoking, lose weight, improve things, my life might be turning into a shambles, right? So you start feeling like a fraud. And then, you know, that can sabotage your work in every area. So that's my specialty. Now, what I found is when I bring that up to people, and I say, you know, as I get ready to tell you about, here's what I think we ought to do, like four sessions, you know, over a month, you know, once a week. And usually it's $19.95 for four sessions. If you sign up today, it's $9.95, right? And I'll give you a couple books and a course that you can do on your own, yada, yada, yada. So they're all like listening and they're agreeing. I said, but then I explain the paradox of knowledge. I said, at this point, a lot of times people, that starts kicking in. And they also start, you know, they start getting fearful. Will I be able to handle the change? You know, are you the type that double clutches before you take action, right? Do you get stuck in this cycle of change, right? Because once you make it conscious to them, it's easier for them to go ahead and do it. And I say, I understand what it's like. You know, last time I had to sign up for some personal growth work, it was hard, right? Because I was a little bit scared, to be honest with you. It's like, could I handle the change? Would it work? What if it didn't work? And that's another thing at the subconscious reptilian mind brain. It'll start saying, yeah, but what if it doesn't work, right? I've wasted money on lots of crap. I don't know about anybody else. It's, you know, it's like, you know, we waste money all the time, I guess, you know, and maybe a few hours, right? But God knows I've wasted time in movies and plays that I walk out going, I'm never getting that 2 hours back. But you know, when I was aware of it, it took some of the sting out. Then I could make the choice. Because when the reptilian brain is activated, the only way they will make a change is if the pain is so ungodly, unbearable at that moment, they have to change, right? But then again, the change, you know, it has to be reinforced ongoing. That's why if you're doing this with somebody and you know they do that, right? So if you make the, you open the relationship model, so hey, let's move up and we'll start the sessions. You got to keep reminding people, hey, stay on track, do some things to keep positive and motivated. Because again, once someone gets out of pain, you know, I've seen a lot of people teach this model. My friend Scott McFall, and his mentor and a guy that kind of trained me in that a little bit was Russell Yarnell. I've kind of heard Tony Robbins talk about this in a way, you know, is it's inoculating against future sabotage, right? Because once people are out of pain, they revert back to old behavior, right? So either you can step them out of pain slowly, right? Which seems to work better, by the way. And again, I'll tie that into one other thing, which you see it in addiction recovery, is that's why I think you see people go away to treatment. And, you know, let's say they come out of the Midwest, it's winter, it's cold, they come down here to Florida or Arizona, Southern California, where all the treatment centers are, and they get beautiful weather, and they're loved, and they're well-fed, they're sleeping, they're nurtured, right? And so they feel great, right? Then it's a rapid change, but then when they get home, everything hits them all at once, and they end up relapsing. I don't know how many times I've seen people relapse first week they get out of treatment because it wasn't an incremental change. If someone just, that's why the research says people that just walk into like a 12-step meeting or do outpatient therapy have a better long-term efficacy from an addiction recovery because it's incremental. You know, things are changing slowly, right? Yeah, because what happens, they go away and they change, and then they come back, and then the system hasn't changed yet, and so it hasn't morphed that way. So again, whether it's, you know, how the media's activated our reptilian brain about this virus and made us terrified, goes past the prefrontal lobe, because that's the break on you doing or not doing behavior, right? Well, and it goes back to the reptilian brain. It will stop you from even making positive changes, right? And so what we want to do is make people aware of it, you know, and make people know that, like, if you want to change, it could be incremental. And, you know, this is how we do it, right? And let them know and say, is this happening to you? You know, and one of the magic terms you could say, you know, I want you to check in with yourself and see, is some of this happening? You know, are you starting to already think, I don't know how to work, or this, that, and the other thing, rather than just go with the process. And that will help people make the best decision for them, right? And so, you know, that's just what I wanted to talk about, you know, how to do better at the sales process if you're selling your services, whether it's coaching or seminars or sessions, whatever it is that you're doing. So it's just something to think about. And to get people, this is where you go to the opposite. You don't have them go too subconscious. You want them to go conscious and then work it backwards. And so anyway, that's the kind of stuff I teach. That's the kind of stuff I help people. I'd like to thank everybody on Facebook for joining me. If you like this, click like and share, pass this around. If you didn't like it, keep it to yourself. I, you know, it's been a wonderful process being a part of all this stuff with people. And so as Facebook ends here on my Zoom thing, thank everybody for being on it. I will post this later. If you have any questions, shoot me an email. If you're on this, you probably got this either on Facebook, where you can still, you know, leave me a message on Facebook, or you're in my email list. So of course you could send me an email. This is what I like doing. This is the kind of thing. So again, it's your reptilian brain that stops people from taking action and keeps people stuck. And so that's what we want to begin to experiment with. So I'd like to thank everybody for being a part of this, and I'll see you soon. And even with the terror going on, stay safe and stay happy.